This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with special guest Dr. Phil Gigliotti, who's been sharing with us this whole week, beginning Monday, his story, his testimony, journey. Dr. Phil was born into an Italian Catholic family in Pennsylvania, and he shared with us a story of it really in his early adult years. In his early 20s, he just decided to pretty much reject his faith as a Catholic and live 20 years apart from that faith. And then just yesterday, he began to share with us how the Lord slowly began to draw him in. The Hound of Heaven was in pursuit of Dr. Phil, and welcome back, Dr. Phil.
Well, thanks, Peter. It's great to be here.
It is great to have you here. You were sharing with us essentially how, having heard this radio preacher, which was unusual for you in the first place,
to
listen to somebody like
that's
that.
Pretty weird.
He was talking about the sacrifice in the temple, which led to the reality of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and the Lord, the Lamb of God, who died for our sins.
Right.
And you're trying to figure that whole thing out. For some reason, it grabbed you intellectually.
Yes.
It hadn't gone from your head to your heart yet.
Right.
But that your mind, you're like, wait a minute, how does this work? I've heard this as a Catholic. I understood this growing up. I didn't pay much attention to it. But what does it mean? What happened when that man died on the cross? What was going through his heart and mind? I think that's where you were coming to yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah, you came to the end of the show.
This is what totally captivated me, because I was trying to figure out, you know, who Jesus was. What did he do? Why did he do that? You know, the why did he do that was what really got me.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking to myself, well, I had been taught, or at least I understood it as being, you know, he died so that now the door to heaven was open. So now you were going to, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, help the little lady across the street and take a can of food to the hunger center and go to church on Sunday. Yeah. And each time you did something, you know, you got a certain...
You got a bonus.
You got a little bit closer to the door.
Yeah.
So then at the end, there's like, was I going to make it in or not? You know, it's like, do I have enough points to get in? Is that what he did? Did he do it? You know, what was he thinking when he did this? Was he thinking about the Pope? Was he thinking about the priests? Was he thinking about the saints? Was he thinking about all the holy guys that were walking around with visible halos and they floated around and sometimes they glowed and... Everybody said, oh, here comes so-and-so. There's such a holy person. I mean, is that who he did it for? What did that have to do with me? Did he do it for me? Was he thinking about me? Like, how could he possibly have done that and be thinking about me? It wouldn't have made any, it didn't make any sense in my intellectual mind. So, you know, being very scientific and mathematically oriented, I thought, well, I'll just figure this out. Because there has to be some logical way to deduce what this was. That's just how my mind worked. Everything can be deduced by a certain progression of, you know, ideas and whatever you call it, you know, a logical progression of things. So you get to some conclusion. So I thought, well, I'll just get to the conclusion. I'll understand what this is. So not understanding what a pathetic creature I was, I tried to put myself in his mind and try to understand, why did he do such a thing? And what was he thinking while he did it? That's what I was focused on. What was he thinking while he did it? And I thought about this night and day. I thought about it while I was working. I don't sleep much. And in those days, I slept even less than I do now. So I just walk around the house during the night thinking about this. And it kind of consumed my thinking. And one day... I decided it was late February of 1995. I don't remember the exact date, but I remember it was late February. And it was a weeknight, and I decided I was going to go for a walk. And it was kind of, as I remember it, it was kind of a warm night, but there was snow on the ground. And I live in this kind of semi-rural area, which now has been built up with houses and stores, and, you know, it's not as nice as it used to be, but it used to be a lot of woods and farms. So I was walking through this wooded area, which is now, I think, somebody's backyard. I'm walking through the woods, through the snow, and I'm thinking about who is Jesus and what did he do. And all of a sudden, my mind opens up. And the first thing I felt was this bitterness and hostility and resentment that was inside of me left, and I felt it like going from my chest through my head. I literally felt like something was going out through the top of my head. And I remember that so vividly, like how weird that was, that I thought, wow, I feel like I've just had 100 pounds taken off my shoulders. You know, like, you know, you say, like, oh, I had this big weight on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I guess I did.
Were you praying at the time?
No,
when you're walking,
I didn't know
you were
how to pray. I was just thinking.
Okay.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't, God wouldn't want to talk to me. And I didn't particularly want to talk to him. And I was kind of scared to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know this at the time, but I heard somebody say just this past weekend, you worship and praise a God that I'm afraid of. And I thought, wow, you know, that really summarized what I used to think. Like, I'm afraid. I don't want to talk to him because I'm already in enough trouble.
Yeah.
I'm in enough trouble already.
Yeah.
And if I go there and say, God, listen, can I talk to you for a second? He's going to say, absolutely not. You can't talk to me because, you know, you've been a creep all these years. So I wasn't praying. I was just thinking about this. And, you know, this resentment, you know, I mentioned my father drank and my mother worked a minimum wage job and we lived in this little house. You know, we had, I don't know how we did it, but we had like 7 people living in this little bungalow,
Now,
I mean, you know, they had like, there's 3-4 people sleeping in each room and there's one bathroom. I don't know how we managed it, but it, you know, when you're a kid, you don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
But, so I had a lot of resentment about stuff and I had to do everything on my own. I mean, my parents didn't say, oh, here's $10,000 to go to here and here's $4,000 for this and here's $10,000 more so you can I had to do everything on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So it was borrowed money, work money. You know, I got married. We were married when we were kind of young, so we worked part-time jobs and we did whatever we had to do. And sometimes we had 2 or 3 part-time jobs at the same time, and which is kind of hard when you're trying to go to medical school and training. And so you don't sleep. So you learn not to sleep because there isn't any time. So I had this resentment that went as far as if one of my friends said they were going to the baseball game the next day with their father, I would say, why are you going to a baseball game with your father? You're not 5 years old. Come on. Who cares? You know, I had like all this weird stuff in my head. I didn't have like normal family connections. Like I couldn't figure out why would you want to go to the baseball game with your father? That made no sense to me. I can understand your wife or your kids or your friend, but why would you want to go with your father?
Mm-hmm.
But all this stuff went out of me, like out the top of my head. It was kind of like a chimney. And then within a few seconds, I thought, wow, I feel really good. I had never felt that way before. It was kind of like you got something really weighing you down. All of a sudden, it's relieved.
Yeah, really. It's like you were delivered. The Lord delivered you from a bondage you were in, you know, that a weight that was on you, the weight of that pain and resentment and anger. And
it was gone. The cooler part of that is that it was filled by the Holy Spirit, who then came into me and opened up my head, opened up my mind. And all of a sudden, after a couple of weeks or so of thinking, who is Jesus? What did he do? Why would he do such a thing? You know, what does that mean to me? All of a sudden, I suddenly see in my head that he's the sinless lamb. He's the unblemished lamb. He's the perfect sacrifice. He's the victim. He's the mediator. All this like went through my head. I didn't even know what those words meant. I hadn't studied. I couldn't have told you a word of the Old Testament other than I knew there was a creation. I knew there was an Exodus. And I knew there were prophets, but, you know, that was about it. I couldn't tell you, like, what any prophets said or what was in the Torah or, you know, what Moses actually did. I didn't know any of that. I knew there was a Moses. I mean, just like I knew there was a George Washington. But, of course, I knew a lot more about George Washington than about Moses.
Yeah.
But all this stuff suddenly crystallized in my head. And I realized that he was the lamb. He took my sin, not just my sin, but as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's 21, he who did not know sin became sin. Sin was put on him, and he died for all of that. So he was thinking about me. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about the people that are listening. He was thinking about the priests and the pope and the bishops. And I mean, he's thinking about everybody. Because everybody's sin was put on him, and he had no sin. He had no sin. He was the perfect victim, the unblemished lamb of Passover, which I hope we can talk about later. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, that all came in my head, and I realized, wow, this is how I'm saved. I'm not going to earn my way in. Mm-hmm. I have to try to be good, but I'm not going to earn my way in. Mm-hmm. Because nobody can get in just based on their own accomplishments. Mm-hmm. I mean, if any of us are going to go to heaven by what we're doing, there's going to be very, very few people there.
Yeah.
There's very few
in
people.
In the reality there. Of Paul's, you know,
it's
Paul's
going to be like a little coffee club. It's going to be about it.
All have sinned. You know, Paul says all have sinned.
And fallen short of,
and
the, fallen glory
short
of,
of the glory of God. That's the, that is the human condition.
That's
why,
right.
Why the church teaches so clearly that the salvation, by grace you have been saved through faith. That the grace of God,
and not of yourselves.
God's gift is the gift of his Son.
That's right.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life.
That's right. But that, I didn't know the verse you just quoted earlier from Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, but... Yeah. Boy, whenever I read that still now after however many years it's been, 16, 17 years now, I still go crazy. And I still run around the house when I read that verse. I really do. I run around the house because it's so exciting.
Your description of what happened there was a little bit like when Jesus said to Peter, you know, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
And he said, you're the Messiah. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you.
Yes.
Ultimately, it's grace, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit.
Grace.
Who gives a revelation to the human heart and the human mind, a gift of faith to be able to grasp and understand who Jesus Christ
Amen.
Is.
Amen. It's grace.
Yeah.
And it's all through the Spirit. And, you know, like Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And to those that are perishing, that's all foolishness, he says. It's foolishness to those that are perishing. It was foolishness to me when somebody started talking about, well, you know, the cross and this and that. I'd say, okay, whatever, but I got to go to work now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I got to go to this, or I got to go to my son's Little League game, so we'll see ya.
Yeah.
But the whole grace of the thing, the whole anointing by the Spirit was, the irony of it was that I was trying to logically figure it out. And then all of a sudden, within, I don't know if it was seconds or if it was minutes, all of a sudden, I understood it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I understood it. And all of a sudden, I thought, whoa, all my life I haven't known this. All my life, I hadn't experienced
this. You had a lot of information about it at different levels, but you didn't know it, like you're saying, in your knower, in your heart, and in a way that it came alive.
Yeah.
It came alive, and it wasn't just historical information.
This
was a living person and a living truth and all that.
And experienced it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can read a lot of books about how do you drive a car, but until you actually drive a car, it doesn't really mean much.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I was experiencing this, and it was overwhelming. I mean, everything in my being changed. It's hard to describe how the impact that it had. Mm-hmm. And we probably should wait till tomorrow to do the rest of this.
Ace is very good stuff, and I really appreciate you sharing it. And we're going to just have a few seconds left, and you can join us again tomorrow, I hope. Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, very good. And it'd be good to talk a little bit about how that grace of faith that you were given to be able to see the Lord, to be able to understand the truth, to be able to grasp it, how it did change your life concretely, you know, and because it really is life-transforming news. It's, you become a new creation. I mean, you're baptized as a new creation, as a baby, but that reality didn't come alive in its fullness until you said, Lord, I want to know you. Help me understand this.
Yeah.
And it came. So, well, God bless you. Thanks for sharing with us. And we'll see you tomorrow, brothers and sisters. We'll be back with Dr. Phil Gigliotti. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.